بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، respected elders and dear brothers, tonight we had commenced with the 20th juz. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to have trust, to have tawakkul upon him. فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينَ. Allah says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that place your trust, your reliance upon Allah, because verily you are upon a clear path of truth. In other words, it is very clear to those who look at it objectively that you are upon haqq, you are the Nabi of Allah. And therefore, do not worry about the reaction and the response that you get from those around you, but place your trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then as consolation, Allah says to him, إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى, that you cannot make those who are dead hear anything. وَلَا تُسْمِعُ السُّمَّ الدُّعَاءَ إِذَا وَلَّوْ مُدْبِرِينَ. And those who are deaf, then you cannot make them hear your call if they have turned away and they are retreating. If a person is deaf, then generally you will catch his attention by signaling to him, and then he will see that you are trying to call him. But if a deaf person has turned around and he is going away, then it is not possible for you to get his attention. Even if you scream at him, no matter how many times you call him, he won't listen to you. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likens the disbelievers to those who are deaf or those who are dead. That no matter how much you warn them, no matter how much you tell them or you try to guide them, they will never listen to you. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِهَادِ الْعُمْيِ عَنْ ضَلَالَتِهِمْ. Another example Allah gives is that you cannot guide those who are blind. You cannot guide them out of their misguidance. إِن تُسْمِعُ إِلَّا مَنْ يُؤْمِنُ بِآيَاتِنَا. You can only make those people who believe in our signs and they then submit to our signs, you can get through to them. You can make them listen to you. So this was the guidance given to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. And the other day we read the verse also, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was always very desirous of the iman of the people, to the extent that he would tire himself, he would finish himself worrying, or rather out of worry and concern that the people are not accepting Islam. So here Allah reminds him that these people, their taqdeer has already passed, and it is Allah's decree, Allah's decision, that they are deaf, they are blind. In other words, with regard to hidayat and iman, they will not listen to you. And under this particular verse, Mufassirin then mention a very interesting discussion regarding sama'ul mawta, whether those who have passed away are able to hear or not. A person goes to the graveyard, and if he has to address those who have left this world, are they then able to hear us or not? It was the view of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, and likewise Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, that it is not possible for those who have left this world to hear, and they would base it on this particular verse, that إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You cannot make the dead hear your call. However, majority of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, including Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma and many others, were of the opinion that with Allah's permission, those who have left this world are able to hear. And the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that there is no person that goes by the grave of his brother and then makes salam to him, except that Allah sends his soul back to him and gives him the ability to reply to that salam, to return that salam. So based on this and very many other dalail and proofs, these Sahaba radiallahu anhum were of the opinion, again with the permission of Allah, we do not say for sure or with certainty that every time a person addresses the dead in their graves that they are able to hear, but with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, Allah does give them this permission and allows them to then hear what is being said to them and also to then respond. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about one of the signs that will signal the end of time close to Qiyamah. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْقَوْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ. That when the decree has now come to pass, in other words, the decree of punishment, that now Qiyamah is about to take place, or it is close to the end of time, أَخْرَجْنَا لَهُمْ دَابَّةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. Allah says, we will then bring forth for them a beast, a creature that will come out of the ground. تُكَلِّمُهُمْ. It will then speak to the people. أَنَّ النَّاسَ كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا لَا يُوقِنُونَ. And one of the things that this beast or this creature will say to them is that the people did not have conviction in the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Various ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam that describe the journey of this particular creature, that it will emerge from Mount Safa in Makkah Mukarrama, and as it emerges from the ground, there will be sand and dust on its head. It will then shake its head right to left in order to shake off this dust, and then it will go in the direction of the Kaaba between the Hajr al-Aswad and the Maqam Ibrahim, and this beast will have with it the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam and the staff of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And every believer that it comes across, it will then take the ring of Sulaiman alayhi salam and place it onto the face of the believer, and this will then make the believer's face shine like the stars in the sky. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, or Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam describes, the speed at which this animal will travel, that la yudrikuha talibun. A person who tries to catch it will not be able to catch it. And a person who tries to run away and flee from it will not be able to escape it. And it will then take the staff of Musa alayhi salam and smite the face of the disbelievers. And this will then blacken their face. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains that a family will gather and sit at a table for a meal, and it will be apparent to everybody who is a believer and who is a disbeliever, because these marks will then be on the faces of the people. A person will try to read salah, a disbeliever, when he sees this creature or this animal chasing him, then he will attempt to read salah in order to be saved from this animal, and this animal will then address him and say, Al-ana tusalli, that now you want to read salah your entire life. You didn't bow down before Allah. You didn't submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now it is too late, and it will then brand the face of this particular person. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that on one occasion he emerged, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum were discussing the ahwal and the conditions that will take place close to the day of Qiyamah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then said to them that Qiyamah will not come until 10 things take place, and one of these 10 signs was khurujud dabba, this particular beast or this creature that will emerge in Makkah Mukarrama, and the entire details that then follow. So this was with regard to one sign of the day of Qiyamah. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the blowing of the trumpet, which will now signal the end of life in this world. وَيَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ. Allah says, remember the day when the trumpet will be blown. فَفَزِعَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. All those in the skies and the earth will be gripped with terror, with panic, with fear, except those who Allah wishes. In other words, there will be a group who will be excluded from this panic and terror, and those are the chosen slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first blowing of the trumpet. Majority of the ulama of the opinion that the trumpet will be blown two times. Some say three times, but generally there will be two blowings of the trumpet. One is what is referred to in this particular verse, which will signal an end of life in this world. And thereafter comes the second, An-Nafkhatu Thaniya, which will signal resurrection, where everybody will then be resurrected and brought back to life for the day of Qiyamah to begin. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, again, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were discussing this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned to them that, Kayfa an'amu? How is it possible for me to enjoy my life, or for me to take joy and take enjoyment from the things of this world, whereas the angel who has been deputed to blow the trumpet has already lifted it to his mouth, and it is already now, he has placed it close to his lips, and he is listening attentively, waiting for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as that command comes, he will then blow the trumpet, and life in this world will come to an end. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, shaqqa dhalika alayhim. They took this very seriously, that now what are we going to do? They were gripped with panic and fear. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then said to them that there is one prescription for you to read, and this will ease your concerns and your fear. Recite hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbunallahu, that Allah is sufficient for us, wa ni'mal wakil, and Allah is an excellent protector, Allah is an excellent guard, an excellent friend, one who will take care of a person. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one particular solution or one method for a person to be saved from the fear and terror of that day. Man jaa bil hasanati falahu khayrun minha wa hum min faza'i yawma idhin aminun. Allah spoke about the word faza' that was brought, this fear and terror that will grip the heart of a person. Here Allah says that person who does a good deed, falahu khayrun minha, then he will be rewarded in an even better way by Allah, and they will be saved from the fear and terror on that day. Aminun, they will be completely at ease, itminan. They will not have any worry or concern because they know that they have made every effort, they have sent forth good deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them for this. On the other hand, وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ, that person who does an evil deed, فَكُبَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ, then they will be thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam, and then it will be said to them, هَلْ تُجْزَوْنَ إِلَّا مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, that your recompense, your punishment, is only because of the deeds that you had done. In other words, there is no oppression, there is no zulam that is being meted out to you, but this is the result of your actions, your evil actions and evil deeds in this world. So this was in Surah An-Naml, and thereafter we began Surah Al-Qasas, where in very great detail the incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam has been mentioned from start to end. Just one verse, one lesson from here. In the very beginning of the life of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, we heard this incident many times before, that Fir'aun had seen in a dream that his kingdom would be destroyed at the hands of a young boy from the Bani Israel. And then he took mashwara from those around him, and he decided that every male child who is born, I will take his life. Some narrations mention that he did this every alternate year. Nevertheless, the mother of Nabi Musa alayhi salam gives birth to him, and that royal decree is still there, still standing, that every male child to be born must be executed, must be killed. She becomes worried, concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives her two commands. And here again we understand the lesson behind it is that at times the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not appeal to our logic. So Allah says to her, the first command is very logical, أَرْضِعِيهِ, that breastfeed your child. This is normal, natural. A mother is worried about the safety of her child. She presses the child close to her bosom. She breastfeeds the child. This comforts the child, comforts the mother. So this is the first command. The second command though, Allah says to her, فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ, when your fear now increases and you are genuinely worried that the life of your child is in danger, now فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ, take this child and throw him into the river. Now this is completely illogical, doesn't make sense whatsoever. You are worried about the life of your child, and now you are throwing him into the river. This is almost certain to result in his death. But Allah then says, لا تخافي ولا تحزني, don't fear, don't worry, don't be grieved. إِنَّا رَدُّوهُ إِلَيْكَ, we will return him to you, and not just return him to you, جَاعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, we will honor him with the mantle of nubuwat and prophethood. And when she trusts upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she does this despite her motherly instincts and human instincts telling her not to do this, but she agrees because it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we know what happens later on. He is picked up by the wife of Fir'aun. He grows up in the palace of Fir'aun, a royal upbringing, and thereafter how he becomes the leader, and he then inherits the entire land of Egypt which was left behind by the people of Fir'aun. So this is the result when a person will submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is logical, illogical, whether we understand, whether we appreciate the wisdom or not. But if we will submit and yield to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely Allah will show us in our lives a time where the fruits of those efforts will then be seen. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.